Sam.
Welcome back, America. 33 minutes after the hour, my weekly chat with Admiral James Stavridis, former Allied Supreme Commander of NATO, former head of Southern Command for the United States, four-star admiral in the United States Navy. Admiral, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Hugh. How's it going?
Terrific. I'm still in D.C. Are you still in Florida?
I am. I think I'll be here another month or so. We'll see how the pandemic goes. My office at the Carlyle Group is still closed in D.C., and we chose to be down here principally to take care of our elderly parents. They're in their 80s, late 80s, and we just like being around them.
That's a smart move. You know, I have been bemoaning the fact that the one stat I would like to see most, and I, as a commander, I'm sure you know that the information you get has got to be relevant to the task in front of you. The most relevant information to me right now, number of people dying and their comorbidities and age. And I honestly cannot find it anywhere, Admiral. I do not understand how this most significant of data set is not easily accessible.
I'm surprised you aren't able to find it. But, you know, now that you mention it, I'm not sure I've seen that laid out holistically myself. I think we all have an intuitive sense that the extreme elderly, say in their 80s, particularly in nursing homes, constitute, I want to say, 40% of the deaths, which is quite remarkable. But I don't have a, I haven't seen that in writing, and I think that's worth really looking at. As we all know, the CDC guideline says if you're 65 or older, you're particularly at risk. You ought to take special precautions.
Right. 244 people died in the United States yesterday, but it's a steady decline in total deaths per day. That I can find every day. I get a statistic per day, but that's not sliced and diced by age, which I find amazing given the surge in infections that we've had. And I think what has happened is that we figured out how to take care of people when they arrive at the emergency room. I don't think they end up in the ICU, and I don't think they end up dying. And I think we get to them much earlier with oxygen tests in the blood. I'm pretty optimistic, actually, about the treatment of this disease. Are you?
I am. I think you've laid it out well there. Of course, what is also happening, it appears that, you know, 30-35% of people are asymptomatic. But now more people are going in and taking those tests, and as a result, you are, as a percentage number, you're seeing a decline in deaths. Back to your point on morbidity, if you look at the raw numbers, it would suggest that it's about a 5% morbidity rate. I think we're going to find that's going to be lower than that, probably in the 1-2%. But again, back to where we started this conversation, it'll be quite age dependent. The key thing, however, in all of this, I think, is that we all need to get out there, in the words of my state senator, Marco Rubio, and wear the damn mask. And that doesn't matter how old you are, where you are, what your philosophy is on this thing. If we would all wear the mask, we'd get around this thing. And the point here is not necessarily just theory. Look at other countries that have had aggressive mask wearing. They're in much better shape than we are. Conversely, look at Brazil, which is in even worse shape than we are. Very little culture there of masks. So I think that's the key.
I do too. And people using common sense, if they're older and have a comorbidity, stay home and exactly. Ask someone to take care of you. Now, Admiral, I want to turn to a lighter subject. The Redskins are going the way of all human things, as are the Indians. Now, my Indians, Terry Francona and I agreed on the same day. Hey, change it. If sports is supposed to unify, not divide, if it divides at all, change it. It's not a hard test. And so the Redskins are going to change. You and your pals have a suggestion.
We do. We think, wait for it, the Washington Redskins ought to become the Washington Fighting Admirals. And that may not leap off the tongue the way the Washington Braves or Washington Warriors or Washington whatevers, but think about it. Washington is, in fact, a naval town. You can turn right coming out of Old Town Alexandria on the river and be at the Atlantic Ocean in an hour or so, depending on the speed of your boat. Did you know this, Hugh? General George Washington originally wanted to be a British naval officer and actually applied for a commission in the British Navy. Think about how different our history would be if he had become a fighting admiral for the British.
Yep, not a good thing. Not a good thing.
Not a good thing. And third and finally, it's just it's rich with tradition. And if you go to our website, which we're slapping together, fightingadmirals.com, I purchased the domain name. You can see some cool pictures of a bunch of different fighting admirals, going from some of the really early ones to people like Admiral Bill McRaven. So it's a cool idea. I'm sure there'll be tons of great ideas for a new name for the Redskins. But boy, am I with you. We should think about sports as something that brings us together. And I've been a Redskins fan since I was in junior high school, attending Quantico High School just south of Washington, D.C.
And you know, I think people are the hardcore sports fan, and you can't get a hardcore Browns or Indians fan than me. The name doesn't matter. The rings do. I would love to win a World Series, have the Indians win, or the Blues, or the Lakers, or whatever they come to call in my lifetime. That's all I would like. Now, Admiral, in terms of the pushback from the Army, we can't call them the Washington Generals because that's the team that played the Harlem Globetrotters forever, right? We can't call them the Washington Generals.
There is no hope of the Washington Generals. And I would say, again, go to our website, fightingadmirals.com, and you see pictures of Chester Nimitz and Stephen Decatur and Spruance and Ernest King and Admiral Grace Hopper, who dragged the Navy into the computer age. There's a lot of rich tradition here, and I just think we ought to be in the running.
As a Skins fan, have you been aware of this controversy over the years? I lived in D.C. in the 80s, and it was percolating then. It's never gone away. Dan Snyder, the owner, largely regarded as perhaps the worst owner in professional sports because of his record. Tried to just banish it, but it won't be banished. Have you followed the controversy?
Sure. It's been around for decades. When I first tuned into the Redskins in junior high school and early high school years, those were glory years. This is Sonny Jurgensen, and Super Bowl rings were flowing. It was great. And then, of course, the Redskins had another resurgence. I think it started to become a serious conversation. I think you've got it right, roughly the 80s. And then Dan Snyder has just shut the door entirely. And I think now the time has come to do it. And so it's really not a question of when anymore. It's a question of what's the new name going to be.
Now, there's lots of names in the Navy, and there's lots of names in the Air Force. For anyone who's a fighter pilot, they get a handle. They get a call sign.
Call sign.
And there have been lots of call sign review boards, right? Because there is an intention to cleanse the Navy and the Air Force of those that might offend. Am I right about that?
You are right about that. That's been going on for, I'd say, a good 15 years anyway.
Yeah, and so why? I think if people understand that name changes have been at work in our most respected institution, which polls show again and again and again is the military, they will understand, I think, more easily why name changes happen. Why did the Navy embark upon that?
Well, first and foremost, there was a big incident you may or may not recall called Tailhook.
Yep.
Tailhook is, for your listeners, when you land on a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier, your aircraft has a hook that drops out of the tail of the aircraft and it hooks onto a wire. That's what stops you on the flight deck. So Tailhook, and it's an association also of naval aviators and people who have made those kind of flights. They had a big convention in Las Vegas. There was a lot of extremely bad misogynistic behavior, assaults on women. That kind of raised this up as a big issue tactically. That was, 20 plus years ago, 1990s. And as a result of that, all of naval aviation got a kind of a clean scrub. And there were a lot of nicknames that had sexual, racist kind of overtones to them, frankly. So we cleaned those up. And now I think call signs are designed to slightly embarrass the user. For example, if you're a pilot and you're a navigator in a flight and you get lost as a junior officer and you have to figure out how to get back to the boat and it's a big thing, your call sign is going to be Magellan. And yeah, and so it, generally people don't like their nicknames, but they're stuck with them. And so yeah. I think they're good-humored But I think we have cleaned them up. And to your point, we should do the same thing. This is all about not how you feel about it. It's how it's received in the larger world, a particular nickname.
Is it fair to say unnecessary conflict is useless cost? There is no need for unnecessary conflict. So minimize. I think John D. Rockefeller told his sons, Nelson Rockefeller recorded it in his memoir, I believe, expose as little skin as possible. And by that, he's just saying, you know, just keep your plate on your defenses. You don't want to have chinks in your armor.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the world is also full of people who act like it costs them $20 every time they smile at something. Let's also have a sense of humor about life. But part of that is being sensitive to how you come across to others. And I think that you put it well when you say there's so much wasted energy in kind of the anger industry that's out there. Where we can clean things up sensibly, we should. And, you know, another example of this, I think I do anyway, Hugh, is bases that are named after Confederate generals who fought against the easy call.
Let me give you a hard one, though, Admiral. I think the Stennis should be renamed the Frederick Douglass. I know that's being discussed in the White House. That will ruffle a lot of Navy feathers for people who served on the Stennis and have retired. But the man was a stone-cold racist.
Big time. And I think your suggestion is spot on. And I know many folks know that the Navy has also taken the step of naming the next nuclear aircraft carrier 100,000 tons, 7 acres of freedom sailing around the oceans of the world is going to be named the Doris Miller. Dory Miller, he was called, a very brave African-American cook, because that's all you could be in 1941 as an African-American in the Navy, who manned an anti-aircraft gun at Pearl Harbor, probably shot down a Japanese Zero. We need that kind of thinking. And Frederick Douglass, I'm with you. Perfect choice.
Admiral James Stavridis, always a pleasure. The Fighting Admiral's coming to the NFL soon if he and his buddies have his way. I've already been to the website. It's a good website. Check it out, www.fightingadmirals.godaddy.com. Thank you, Admiral.